Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, we've been bracing for this, waiting for this. It's been more than a year since the government indicated its intent to bring forward an emissions cap on the oil and gas sector. Now, I think there's a lot of questions as to why the government is shifting its approach here. Now, they're making the argument this is about reducing overall emissions, which has certainly been a big part of their focus. But this seems to represent a departure. The idea of a carbon price is that, well, it puts a price on a ton of carbon. And it doesn't distinguish where that ton of carbon comes from, because ultimately it doesn't matter where it comes from. So it raises the cost of emitting that carbon. And so the more the emissions, the bigger the cost. And that is meant to incentivize change, reducing those emissions. Now the government is taking a more regulatory and a more heavy-handed approach, arguably, with imposing an emissions cap on the oil and gas sector, the only sector that's being singled out for a legislated and mandated reduction of emissions. So it's not quite as harsh as we'd originally been anticipating, but I think there's still a concern about how workable this is. So the oil and gas industry will have to cut emissions by more than one-third by 2030. But there will be a cap and trade system as a part of this. So an opportunity, I guess, to buy offset credits. Now, the Alberta government still reacting angrily in a statement released by the Premier and the Environment Minister. They're going to be holding a press conference later this hour. We will hear from Canada's Minister of Energy and Natural Resources, Jonathan Wilkinson, coming up after 10:30. But joining us off the top in this hour for some analysis, so the co-author of a really interesting piece that was posted recently up at thehub.ca. While oil and gas cap is no solution to Canada's slow climate progress. Joining us on the line here this morning is Theo Argidis, Managing Director at Compass Rose Group. Theo, good to have you with us here. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning.
So did anything you saw or heard this morning surprise you, or is this kind of more or less what we were expecting?
Yeah, I mean, what surprised me, I suppose, or I guess another way of framing it is, kind of it could have been worse because there is scope there for essentially the cap is less stringent than many had feared. The original target was about 40% reduction in emissions from the oil and gas sector by 2030. Now the cap and trade system that they announced this morning limit the amount of emissions that the sector will be forced to reduce by to as little as 20% by 2030 if they are allowed to kind of pay. They'll have an option to kind of pay the difference, for example. The actual cap is 35-38% by 2030, which is less than the 40-42% that they had been talking about. Plus, there is that flexibility that allows them to reduce it by as little as 20% if they pay into kind of if they acquire certain offset credits or they pay into some type of decarbonization fund. So it's actually a lot less stringent than initially kind of thought, and it's actually in line with some of the numbers the sector itself has been saying would be feasible in the 20-25% range by 2030. But at the same time, it's still going to be an expensive endeavor. It's going to be very expensive, not only to introduce all of this technology and make all of these investments in the oil and gas sector, but also the extra flexibility that they are providing, government is providing to the oil and gas sector will come at an additional cost as well. So the actual cap is less stringent, but there's still a massive expense involved to meet these even less stringent targets.
To what extent then do you think this does represent a departure from the consistent approach of pricing emissions, carbon pricing, to this kind of a more regulatory approach?
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly where they've gone. And this is actually not even kind of new because, you know, what are the clean electricity regulations or the clean fuel standard, the methane regulations? I mean, essentially, they are moving towards moving away from carbon pricing. The latest latest move was the exemption of heating oil from the carbon pricing regime as well, the so-called temporary exemption, which has a lot of people wondering whether it will be temporary and what it means for the rest of the pricing regime. So clearly, they are moving to a regulatory system rather than the pricing system, which may reflect, less confidence that the pricing system can get us to net zero, but also kind of cognizance of the fact that the politics around pricing make it very difficult to use that as a sole framework to achieve net zero by 2050.
Yeah. Is it a more costly way or a less efficient way of trying to get emissions reductions?
Sure. I mean, the whole argument around pricing, carbon pricing, was it's the most efficient, least cost way of achieving your objectives. That's the tool that economists would prefer to see in a kind of a first best ideal world. But what we've seen is that it's very difficult to execute, in part because, it generates a lot of revenue for government. And, just on that basis, people are opposed to it for various reasons. So they are moving to more regulated approach, clearly. I mean, we saw two announcements over the last week, including the methane regulations, which is exactly that regulation. And, it looks like the carbon pricing regime, in 10 years from now, might not be kind of the primary driver of Canada's decarbonization efforts.
What would be a better way then to move forward? Is carbon pricing alone sufficient, or is there more but different ways that the government could act?
I think maybe the first question to ask is, the pace at which we go to net zero. So if we assume that everyone is bought into the 2050 target and the whole idea of net zero, which is, it's not a given, but let's assume that that's the case. The question becomes, at what pace? And I think that's where the debate is going to go. And I think that's where you're going to see the debate, federally when that time comes in the next election to discuss this. I think the debate will be targets, the kind of the shorter term and medium term targets versus the 2050 targets. So, do we need to go at such a rapid pace? And the second question is how does that fit into kind of global emissions? So, just because Canada is reducing its carbon footprint doesn't mean that the rest of the world is as well. I think the other question will be, how do Canada's targets and the pace at which we are trying to achieve these targets, how does that fit into the global picture? And I think that's where the debate is going to go. I think we're going to be talking a lot about targets going forward, and we're going to be talking a lot about how that fits into the global decarbonization efforts. And I think that's kind of reflective, for example, in the clean electricity regulations. I mean, I think that's kind of where the Alberta government is, for example. It's less about, the final outcome and more about the pace at which we go there.
Well, we'll see where it all goes from here. As mentioned, your piece is from a couple of weeks ago. It's up at thehub.ca. Theo, thanks so much for making some time for us here today. Appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.